Retail sales fall again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The government just reported retail sales slipped 0.4% last month. Economists had been predicting sales would stay flat. Consumers especially cut back on electronics and gasoline. There is word this morning the Obama administration is considering new limits on compensation for the whole financial industry, not just the banks that got bailout money. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us. Jeremy, what's the idea?
Well, the idea, Bill, is that you'd have the Federal Reserve and the Securities and Exchange Commission in charge of this, and they'd be able to say, hey, financial institution, the way that you're paying your employee is threatening the health of the entire economy, so you have to stop. Just the way they can say, hey, you can't borrow that much money to make an investment because if it goes bust, it could put us all at risk.
Well, but salaries might be outrageous, but they are a tiny fraction of a bank's capital. How can they threaten the economy?
Well, think about the way we got into this mess. We had all these mortgages. They're packaged up and sold off as mortgage-backed securities. And every time there was a short-term gain, the people who did all these deals are getting a commission. And the Obama administration has argued that that kind of a short-term incentive actually enticed people to make bad decisions that put us in the place we are now.
So, Jeremy, all of these banks trying to return the TARP money to avoid the compensation limits, they're going to get regulated anyway?
Yeah, they might get regulated anyway. And not only them, but some of the guys who are not regulated right now. Hedge funds and private equity firms may be a part of this regulation package from the administration. And by the way, that has been one of the arguments all along, that that's the place where these employees are going to go if they can't get paid what they want to get paid at the banks. They'll go off to hedge funds and private equity firms. Now, if those are part of the regulation package, that changes the argument that Wall Street's been making.
Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
European markets have turned 1% to 2% lower. Asian markets were mixed on the day, as was Wall Street yesterday when the Dow gained 50 points. Today is the deadline for countries to claim the boundaries of their continental shelves, the underwater land beyond their coastlines. There may be a lot of oil under there. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports the U.S. might be shut out of it.
The UN Law of the Sea governs the rights of nations to exploit resources in distant offshore seabeds, something they didn't consider worthwhile until now. Melting ice and improved offshore drilling has generated a flood of new territorial claims on seabeds from the Arctic Ocean to the South China Sea. But since the U.S. hasn't signed the treaty, it has no right to claim its share off the Alaskan coast. Mead Treadwell chairs the U.S. Arctic Research Commission.
The amount of extended continental shelf that this nation could get under Law of the Sea is perhaps equal to twice the size of California. I mean, that's a magnificent new addition to the territory of the United States on the scale of buying Alaska or the Louisiana Purchase.
With potential oil and gas reserves valued at close to $1 trillion, according to the U.S. State Department. And as countries like Russia and Denmark lay claim to the Arctic, Treadwell says the U.S. risks being left behind if Congress doesn't ratify the treaty this year. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution by carrying the load of 280 trucks by rail. CSX, how tomorrow moves. American Public Media brings you four documentaries about the economic crisis, supported by the University of Virginia's Batten Institute. More at AmericanRadioWorks.org.
For the last century, the American dream has included the automobile, with all its costs and benefits. This week, in a series called Next American Dream, we're looking abroad. Dinesh Mohan is a transportation expert at India's Institute of Technology. Professor Mohan, your country is beginning to embrace the car. What is that doing to Indian life?
The embrace of the car dominates all town planning and upper-class thinking. And they think that if you get a modern car into your society, all your problems are solved.
By the way, I'm trying to picture this. Americans, we mostly hear about the Tata Nano.
Yes.
I have no idea how representative that is. Are all your cars itty-bitty?
Our largest proportion of cars sold in India is the smallest car sold in the world, which is slightly bigger than the Nano.
So how important is that? Does that mean that, India, do you think, can avoid some of the downsides, the congestion and pollution, and even the psychic place that the car holds in America? It's like a house going down the road. Maybe it's a very different relationship there.
No, I think it has to do with income. So yes, the top 5% of the Indian population will behave like Americans. The next 10 to 15% would like to behave like them. And the other 70% doesn't have a hope in hell to behave like Americans. But, you know, 10% is a very, very large amount. That's 100 million.
Right.
So to answer your question about which direction we'll go in, as far as congestion is concerned, in the last 100 years, that problem hasn't been solved. And I don't think it will be, because car owners have a disease called congestionitis. And they're not happy until they create congestion. And every time we reduce congestion, we increase pollution. Because you decrease congestion by making more roads.
And pollution? Where is that going?
See, what's happening is that because of our poverty, most Indians don't travel long distances. Lower middle class Indians or poor Indians live close to their work, so they don't need public transport, they don't need fuel, they don't pollute. It's the middle class, upper middle class, because they're highly educated, so they may or may not find work close to their home. Our large city, say New Delhi, is say as large, and its surroundings are as large as L.A. But we are not like L.A. People don't go from everywhere to everywhere. And so we all operate within 10 kilometers of our surroundings. We may be very large, but we don't behave like American cities. And it's not because we are nicer people, it's just we are poorer.
Professor Dinesh Mohan at the Indian Institute of Technology in New Delhi, thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you'll find out more about the ideas in this Next American Dream series. Come visit us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.